Hey everyone, welcome back. Welcome back to the Letters and Layers podcast. Welcome to the first episode of 2025. I'm happy to be back. Thank you guys for listening. This is your host, Amaka. It is Tuesday, January 14th at around 8:30 a.m. when I'm recording. I had hoped to record this before, but I got back from my trip to Portugal last week, Thursday evening, and caught what I think was the flu, a really bad case of the flu. So I have been in the thick of it, but I am slowly coming out on the other side. I apologize if my voice sounds weird. It's because of that. I'm happy to be feeling better. Things got pretty tough. I could barely get out of bed at a point, but I'm doing better. I'm still a little weak, but I'm moving around more, and I have a lingering cough. So that's annoying. That is sometimes, for me, like the last symptom to go away. And it's really annoying because in the most inopportune times, you'll have a coughing fit and you're like, why? But I feel okay right now. I feel good enough to record this. It probably won't be a long episode. We'll see though, because once I get going, sometimes. Anyway. Yeah. Got back from Portugal on Thursday evening after practically a week there. I started my journey on the 2nd. And yeah, flew to New York, met up with my good friend Goetti, who I've mentioned on the podcast at least a few times at this point. It was her dear mother, who was gracious enough to join us for the trip, which was amazing. And then Goetti's little boy, who's a great traveler, brought so much fun and entertainment to the trip. So it was the four of us, and we had a fantastic time. I'm actually going to write a blog post about the trip. I'm hoping to do that in the next couple of weeks, sooner, ideally. I just don't want to put too much on myself while I'm still recovering. I have a blog post on my trip to Portugal last year. I think I titled it A Black Girl in Portugal. So I think I'm just going to do the same title and add a part two. I would say this trip was a lot more fun. And we did a lot more. We went to more places. We took a high-speed rail because we visited more than one city. We landed in Lisbon, which is where we spent the majority or the entirety of our trip last time. But this time around, we were in Lisbon for like half of our trip. We were there for the first three nights, and then we took a high-speed rail to the city of Porto, which was also amazing. We were there for two nights, and then we came back to Lisbon for one night before coming back to the States. So, yeah, I'm going to do a blog post about it. We touched Lisbon. We touched the city of, or the little, I don't know what to call it. Is it a city? It's like a small city of Sintra. A lot of historical components to that city. A fusion of history and modernism, I think I would say. But Portugal does really well, as do many European countries, with preserving their history and preserving the architecture and the surroundings that help to remind you and teach you of the history. Sintra was amazing. We took a million pictures, so that will definitely be in the blog post. And then when we left for Lisbon, Sintra was while we were in Lisbon the first few days, just want to be clear, because that was a half hour car ride, and we went with a tour guide who we booked through Airbnb Experiences. And then after our first three nights in Lisbon, we took high speed rail up north to Porto. We were there for two nights. Our full day there, we did another Airbnb Experience tour where we were paired with a tour guide who was really great. Both of our tour guides for our major excursions had the same name, Miguel, which is funny and a coincidence, obviously. But yeah, we started the day early, got to the meeting spot, and drove maybe an hour and 15 minutes to the Douro Valley, which is some of the most beautiful landscape that I've ever seen in my life. I will put pictures on the blog post, obviously, but these pictures, and the pictures are pretty great. I took them, you know, with my iPhone, not a crazy camera or anything like that. Took them with my iPhone 11. They look pretty good, in my opinion. But even with the quality of the pictures, there's no way to entirely capture the wonder and beauty and awesomeness of that place. It was recommended to me by a dear friend of mine who I went to nursing school with, who went to Porto later last year, maybe like summer or something. She went with her husband and her son, and she came back. And then when I told her I was going back to Portugal, she was like, Amaka, you have to go to Douro Valley. Like, we only went for a day, but I wish we stayed longer. And we only went for a day too. But I low-key for a second thought that it sounded too good to be true. But honestly, she didn't even scratch the surface with that place. So beautiful. So amazing. So amazing. It's a UNESCO protected site, I believe is what they said, which means no random developer can just come in and bulldoze the landscapes and the historical architecture and put high rises or whatever. It's protected by UNESCO to keep the original and evolving beauty, you know, of the area. So at the Douro Valley, we took a boat out. It was a little cold. Portugal, depending on where you are in the country, the temps vary, but the further south you are around January time, it's like low 60s, high 50s. So it's like a cool spring day. You'll probably need a jacket, maybe, you know, some pants. You should be fine. Porto is a little further north. It was a little colder. We were on the water, so you needed a little bit of a heavier coat, but it was still amazing. It was still so amazing. Yeah, so we went to two wineries, two small ones. In the Douro Valley, there are so many commercially owned wineries, and then there are like a few family-owned wineries. A lot of the commercially owned ones are closed, or were closed while we were there because it's kind of off-season. But there are some smaller wineries that are open year-round. So we went to two wineries that are family owned. Their production is smaller. They, you know, provide goods for shops here and there, some export out of the country a little bit, but they're not a huge enterprise. They're not a huge establishment. And I was kind of glad, you know, I was happy that we patronized the smaller businesses. That's actually, you know, kind of what I want to do more of. So I was happy that it was kind of in that vein. So we went to the first winery, had amazing wine, bought some of the wine. And the second winery, we actually had a meal there, which was delicious. It was like pasta with some veal spices. Delicious. It was simple, but delicious. Bread with olive oil. And they offered us some like homemade jam with the bread that I really liked. So I actually bought a jar. And we ate and drank to our heart's content on that trip. So many great restaurants. I'm going to list all of them. Hopefully I can, you know, find Google pins for them for the blog post. But I don't think I ate anything that I hated. My trip last year, all the food was good. There was one place that we repeated this time around too, called Taberna Sal Grosso. Everything I'm going to put in the blog post. Amazing food. I think there was maybe one thing I had that I wouldn't have rated like a 9 or a 10. I probably would have given it like a 7, maybe a 6.5. But that's literally, it was like one thing in an entire week of food. Yeah, that's my trip in a nutshell. I don't want to, you know, give too much. I promise the blog post is coming. I had octopus twice. I love octopus. So good. So good. And with Portugal being a seaside country or an oceanside country, the seafood there is fresh. It's fresh. And they don't have to do too much to it. Olive oil, salt and pepper, maybe some garlic and lemon. They don't have to do so much to the food. And the flavors are just so deep. And just, it's an experience. It's an experience. It's an experience, for real. If it has not come across already, 1000% recommend Portugal as a travel destination. I will be back. I will be back again for the third time. It might even become a regular thing. Every 1 to 2 years, I'm there. I like the idea of getting to know a place outside of the United States pretty intimately, you know? So that's kind of what I'm thinking. I got the idea to go to Portugal from social media and doing research, you know, trying to find places that were diverse and generally friendly and a lot to do, great food, affordable for locals and travelers, kid-friendly, is very kid-friendly. My friend's son had an amazing time while he was there. And it pretty much checks all those boxes. We even met a couple at a restaurant we went to called Sophia's Place, which was also amazing. They said that they were actually in town to scope out schools and things like that because they're planning on moving there. And I've heard anecdotally of people planning to leave the United States. A lot of people have chosen Portugal. I had just never met anyone in person. So it was really enlightening and cool to have that conversation with them. And I wish them luck. You know, their reasons are very valid. And I'm sure there are a lot more people that are actively moving towards that direction and people that are thinking about it. So yeah, it's a great destination, whether temporary for vacation or more permanent, as many people are considering. But I think I will kind of put a pin in Portugal as far as the conversation goes. Like I said, I'm going to put a whole blog post together about all the details, the Airbnb experiences, the restaurants. We did some kid-friendly stuff too. We went to the aquarium, the planetarium, children's museum. And then a lot of the things that we just did in general were inclusive of children. So look out for that. Going into the new year, I wasn't actually planning on doing this. If you see the title, I may or may not make this the title of the, or part of the title of the episode. If I did, then you see it. But I have kind of been going back and forth about this for a really long time. I have a love-hate relationship with Instagram. And I've had moments where I'm like, I just need to delete this. You know, I don't really need it anymore. Like, blah, blah, blah. It has a very annoying way of making you feel like you're missing out, which it is designed to do. It's designed to make you log in and scroll and, you know, see what people are doing or posting or whatever. And I am working on an Instagram for the podcast. So, you know, love-hate relationship. There is a necessity for the platform, but also to, it's just annoying. Like, part of me wants to completely disavow all social media, but not saying I can't do that, but I don't have to. I don't have to. But at the same time, too, I'm really, like, I've talked about social media at different points on the podcast before, but I don't know what it has been about more recently. I'm, like, really, really interrogating my relationship with it, even more so. And I think the election was a big catalyst. I was so glued to social media getting up to the presidential election last year. And I would say I was on my phone to a point where it wasn't healthy. And with the outcome being what it was, I was like, oh, hell no. If this is what we have to do again, I gotta make changes for myself to protect my peace of mind. So I deleted my Twitter account mid-November, and TikTok I have not been on since maybe late November. And it's not been easy. But thankfully, the longer I'm off of it, the more conviction I have to stay off of it. I think I've been off of TikTok, but I've had moments where I wanted to search something. So I still have my account. I might delete it. I don't know. But I just search it on my laptop. I just pull it up, search it, and then I close out. Because to be 100% with you, I had to start treating TikTok like a drug addiction. That might sound extreme, but that's really what made me kind of be like, okay, like, we need to put this on ice indefinitely. And, you know, I was kind of interacting with it that way. Like, and Twitter too, you know, leading up to the election and everything. Even though I knew going on Twitter would not make me feel good, I would still do it. And those apps are designed to make you want to keep coming back, you know, for those dopamine hits, even though when you're on it for too long, you feel worse than when you got on. So, yeah, I had to start equating these apps to substance use, which is interesting because, you know, I deal with this population in my professional day-to-day life. But kind of seeing it that way helped motivate me to stop, pretty much. So, yeah, I have not been on Twitter since mid-November. I'm sure my account is long gone because I think you have 30 days. And, you know, if you log in within the 30 days, then it's like you never left. TikTok, I still have my account, but I have not been on it. It's not been on my phone. I have not scrolled. Like I said, if I wanted to really search something, I just went on the computer, looked for it. When I found it, I exited out. So now what is left? Pretty much Instagram. I use YouTube pretty regularly, but YouTube is not something that is detrimental to me. Everyone is different. Maybe it is for other people. I know YouTube has a Reel or TikTok-ish feature called Shorts where you can, like, scroll through short videos. I am not attracted to that feature. I'm not drawn to it at all. So that's not an issue for me. I go to YouTube for long form content and I learn a lot in that way. I have, you know, vloggers that I watch, different things, cooking, the gamut. So I feel okay with keeping YouTube. But Instagram was literally the last piece. So, you know, back and forth with Instagram. I think at one point last year, I said I deleted it or tried to in a fit of emotion, but then I went back. So saying all this to say, when I was in Portugal, I remember we were all in a Uber and something just settled in me that I was going to delete my Instagram, my personal Instagram, because I have a podcast Instagram, which I actually want to slowly build up because I see the value in social media when it comes to building a listening audience. But I want social media to serve a purpose for me, a targeted and precise, specific purpose for me. I don't want to be on social media because. I no longer want to just passively consume content on social media. I want it to work for me as a tool. So sitting in the cab, I was thinking about it. I was like, you know what? I think I'm going to delete it for real this time, my personal one. And then I was like, but I'm in Portugal. I'm taking amazing pictures. I kind of want to post them, blah, blah, blah. I hadn't been on Instagram like that throughout the trip, which I was really proud of. And from early December up to that point, which is like last week, I had been on Instagram less and less. Like a year ago, it would have been very difficult for me to do this now, but I would at least log into Instagram every day. If the app wasn't on my phone, I would log on via my laptop. But over this last holiday season, I have gone days. I've gone 2 days without going on the app at all, regardless of device. And it made me feel proud of myself. And then when I would log in, I'd be like, I'm not missing anything. There's nothing here of note. If anything, I was happier because I wasn't consuming unnecessary information and content. There were things that were happening. There were things that had happened that I was learning after the fact that maybe if I had heard while it was happening, I would have maybe been a little anxious or worried about it. Not worried, but like concerned, thinking about it. But that wasn't happening. That wasn't happening. My husband would ask me, hey, did you hear about this? Did you hear about this? I'd be like, no. Tell me about it. What happened? And he kind of became my news source, quote unquote, of certain things that were going on. If he wanted to show me funny memes, he'd have to show it to me on his phone because I wasn't on the app. But yeah, I was slowly using the app less and less. And then in the car ride in Lisbon, or maybe, I don't know where we were at that point, but I was like, I think I'm going to delete my personal Instagram for real this time. And the thought came to me that I wanted to post my Portugal pictures, maybe not yet. So towards the end of the trip, I think maybe 2 nights before, where I felt like I wasn't really going to take many more pictures of note, I posted 20 photos. And I mean, it got likes, got a few comments, but the satisfaction that I thought maybe I would get from posting them was not there. There was no joy. It was just like, oh, yeah, I posted them. Some people liked them, whatever. So I was like, okay, maybe this is even confirmation because what I thought I would get from posting these pictures ain't even it. So I was like, okay, I think this is really going to happen. So when I came back, I didn't do it right away because I was sick, still recovering, feeling better now, but still recovering. I actually yesterday went on to my personal Instagram and downloaded everything, because you can do that. You can literally download all your activity and move abouts in the app. You can download pretty much your entire Instagram fingerprint or footprint. You can download all of that onto your personal device. So I wanted to do that. I downloaded it. It took a while. I got an email that it was ready. So I put it on my laptop and then I went to delete it. So according to whatever it said on the screen, my profile is no longer visible. But if I log back in between now and February 12th, it'll go back to like nothing ever happened. Like I never attempted to delete the profile. So I am mentioning this on the podcast because I want to use it as a source of accountability. I cannot log in to my personal account. I want to let it go. I want to let it go. There's something about deleting it that felt good. And maybe that meant this was the right time because I've tried to in the past and failed. But something felt different this time, you know, kind of having that feeling settle in me that I think I want to do this. I think I kind of want to let my personal Instagram go, kind of want to leave Instagram behind in that way. And to be quite honest, if we're really being honest with ourselves, how many people are going to notice that I'm gone? We like to believe that we're special, and we are. We are special people. You know, we are one of a kind. But in the world of social media, where folks are following you just because maybe they knew you in high school, you know, just are curious of what you're doing right now or whatever, people, there are people that like to keep tabs on you, which is weird. But I'm like, how many people will really notice that I'm gone? Off the top of my head, I could think of maybe like five people, maybe five or six people that will wonder, what happened to her page? But those people have my phone number. Like they can call me, they can text me. They can be like, hey girl, I tried to send you something. It says your profile is null and void. Like what happened? And then I'll tell them, oh, you know, I've been wanting to leave Instagram behind, but I have my podcast Instagram. If you want to send me stuff, like follow me there. So yeah, kind of thinking that through too, I was like, how many people will really notice that I'm not on there like that anymore? A handful that came to mind for me. And how much am I really going to miss? Nothing. I'm not really going to miss anything. You know, those times where I would log in after a couple of days and kind of look through things that were posted, I'm like, I'm not missing anything on here. There's nothing of note. There's nothing new. There's nothing that makes a difference to me or my life. So, yeah, I hit that delete button and it felt great. It felt great. So I hope to keep this feeling going. Like I said, I wanted to say this on the podcast because I needed something to keep me accountable. So February 12th, I'm going to say February 13th because that's when I know officially it's gone. And I will have my podcast Instagram, which I am working on. Don't want to put it in the description box yet. I have a few posts, but I'd like it to have a little bit more before I, you know, add the link and everything. So yeah, I want social media to serve me and to be a tool for and a means to an end, you know? So I see it playing that role for me more. And I think I will have a much healthier relationship with it in this way. So yeah, I'm not telling folks to delete their social media. Do what you are led to do. Do what feels right for you. This is what felt right for me. I did it and I felt good about it. And I felt like a little bit of a weight had been lifted. You know, I felt like I was leaving something behind that I've been wanting to kind of let go for a while. And when you download like your history, it tells you the day you signed up. What is downloading essentially is from the day you signed up for the app and the day that you, to the day that you downloaded your information. And it told me like from February 2005. Which I was like, is that possible? I don't know. Because I'm like, could I really have... I don't even think Instagram is that old. Or maybe... I know it was bought or something. I don't remember. But I remember those days. And I was like, it can't be 20 years. It can't be 20 years. But whatever. Whatever. That part of... That chapter is closed. Will be officially closed in a little... More than a month, a little less than a month. And I'm happy. I feel good. And I'm forward focused. And I'm excited to kind of refocus my attention and energy onto things that maybe I wouldn't have previously considered doing. Because if I wanted to take a break, I'd probably go on Instagram. But now, maybe... You know, I do some drawing or I do some reading, more reading, or I do some writing or, you know, whatever. Be more creative. So, yeah, that's that. We're at 35 minutes recording. I said this would not be a long episode. I always play myself when I say that. But it's fine. It's fine. I hope the quality of my voice has not been too distracting, but I'm feeling okay. So I'm going to keep going. I didn't really make any New Year's resolutions for 2025, nothing official. Leading up to the turn of the year, I was really focused on the trip because it was New Year's Day. And then on the second I left. So nothing official, but I feel like if there's anything that I want to elevate more in my life this year and moving forward, it's just doing more work for myself as far as my personal goals separate from my professional life. So I want to write more. I want to do more reading. I'd love to do more interviews this year. I'm hopeful that that will happen. I want to go to the library more. That's something I wanted to do last year and I did not keep up with it. I do like the idea, but that's something I've known about myself for a long time. I like the idea of a lot of things. Whether I execute it or not will really tell if I care enough to do it. But I went to the library before I left for the trip and I got a lot done. And I think if I really want to see things accelerate and move forward when it comes to my writing, when it comes to the podcast, when it comes to continuing to build my audience, when it comes to just leveling up for me personally, in my goals and endeavors, separate from my day job, like I said, I need to have a place, a space, a time to focus on that, laser focus on that, even if it's a few hours a week, even if that's all I can commit, like a few hours a week, because even if I devoted 2 hours a week to my personal stuff, you know, that I've mentioned, that is over the course of a year, that's 100 hours of targeted energy and work towards things that matter to me. And that will only get me that much closer to my long-term goals. So what I'd like to do is, you know, go to the library more. Whether it's a library, whether it's a coffee shop, just have some more targeted personal time to focus on what essentially is my brand, you know, the podcast, the blog. I'm playing with the idea of merch. I ordered one tote bag with the podcast logo on it. It looked so cute. I gave it to my friend Goetti. She told me that she wore it to like a book club event or something. So that made me really happy. So, you know, these are things that I'm kind of thinking about. And, you know, I'm on the road to 100 episodes. Next year will be 5 years. This year will be 4 years. Next year will be 5 years. So over the next couple of years, I'm going to be hitting some pretty monumental milestones with what I've been doing. And I just want to make sure I'm giving it my all, you know. So I hope that this inspires you guys. Maybe you've been wanting to do some things for yourself that you're passionate about, but you haven't made the effort to give it like laser focus time and space. Do it with me. Do it with me. Decide on a day and time and place every week, even if it's for an hour, even if it's for 30 minutes, to devote towards that thing. And no matter how small the amount of time is, that time will not be wasted. And it will only, the momentum will only accumulate. And you will be so much further in the next 1 to 2 years than you were, than you would have been if you did nothing. So that's kind of how I'm seeing it. You know, I'm still planting a lot of seeds. I'm still in that season, I believe. And I need to keep planting. I need to be serious and diligent and have a system that, you know, sets me up for success. So that's kind of a long-winded way of describing what my resolution, quote unquote, for the year is. Just more devoted time to the things that matter to me most as far as my passions and propelling them forward. So I think I'll end the podcast here. I want to thank you guys so much for listening. As always, please rate, please recommend. I think I have like 8 5-star reviews on Spotify. If you're listening on Spotify and you haven't rated the podcast, please do. I would love to get the podcast to double digits as far as ratings go on Spotify. So if you're listening and you're a Spotify listener, please do that. But yeah, please rate, please review on your preferred listening platform. Please share, please recommend, please reach out to me. If you have any questions, anything you'd like me to chime in on, contact at theLettersAndLayers.com. And I appreciate you guys. I am hopeful for this year. And I want to thank you guys for listening. Take care. Be well. Love you all. Bye.